Scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 10. It's a psalm and a prayer of David, the kind of prayer that we could all utter as we strive to be people after God's own heart, as David was. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I'm devoted to you. You are my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God.
Good to see everyone here this morning, especially to see Josh and Kate. It's a nice surprise to see them. I did not know they were coming, but then again, I wouldn't necessarily anyway, so it's good to see them. PowerPoint should be on. Daniel? Oh, Daniel. I don't want to keep turning around like this. Oh, what am I doing? I moved it. Yeah, I should do something like that. You know, the best laid plans of mice and men. Daniel, would have Daniel move me back to the beginning. Mike, would you please? There you go. Well, this will be interesting. Okay. Kind of like us, huh, Mike? Here we go. If you did any shopping online over the holiday season, you would by now know very well that every place you go on the internet keeps track of you. It knows where you're going. It knows where you've been. It knows what you like. It knows what you didn't like. It knows what you bought. It knows what you didn't buy. It has all these cookies that give them information about you and who you are. And each one of the manufacturers and the retailers then develop a little perspective, a little glance, a little picture of you based upon where you have been and what your likes and dislikes and purchases were. I got a lot of that this year because my two daughter-in-laws took it upon themselves to decide that for Christmas we could not give gift cards. And so that increased my shopping time tremendously. But their concept was, and it's very true, we should by now know each other well enough to know what we like and what we don't like and what we need. And so it was a challenge, but very rewarding. But the downside of that was the fact that I had all these advertisements being sent to me from places that I had visited. And Amazon does that as well. But Amazon does something a little bit differently. What they do too is if you have an e-book, which I don't, and you happen to be reading, you purchase a book, put it on your electronic book, and you read it, they know what you've read. Not only that, if you are reading these and you underline anything or you highlight anything in the book, they keep track of that as well. So not only do they know what you've read, they know what you like about what you've read. And they published a list of those things that people were most interested in and most fascinated about in these e-books, in series such as Hunger Games or the Harry Potter trilogy or series or whatever it happens to be by now. They know what people liked and what they underlined or highlighted. And they did the same thing with the Bible. If you have the Bible on an electronic book that you purchased from Amazon, they know what you like and have highlighted and have underlined in your Bibles on ebook. Do you know what the number one highlighted passage of Scripture was according to Amazon? You probably would think like me. Got to be John 3:16, right? I mean, we see it held up at sporting events. We know it. It's short. That's what people... It's the most important... It's the most important spiritual thing in our life is that event that's described in John 3:16. But that wasn't it. That was not it. So now we're thinking, well, maybe it could be 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That'd be a great one to highlight, but that wasn't it either. Or maybe it was the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Maybe that was it. No, that wasn't it either. Here's what it was. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That was it. But what does that tell you about our society and people? They want peace. They want to know where to find peace. And that's where we come in. That's the charge that God has given us, to show them where to find peace. And that peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to do. Well, where do we find peace? Where do we in our lives then find peace? Well, this passage in Philippians chapter 4 tells us that. We find our peace in talking with God. Psalms 86 is a very special Psalms to me because I prayed it many, many times during Ann's illness. And I found peace in that. I found peace in that because it was not based upon external circumstances, but it was based upon my faith in my God. We know from experience that we talk to people different ways, depending on our relationship with them. We talk differently to our parents than we do our children, don't we? We talk differently to our spouse than we do to the person in the drive-up window. Or hopefully we do. We talk differently to each other than we talk to people outside of Christ. Because how we talk to people is based upon our relationship with them. And that begs the question, how do I talk to God? Do I talk to God in the way that I want to? Is he like talking to a person in the drive-thru window? God, I want, give me this. You see, what each one of us should be striving for in our prayer life is that that personal, that intimate relationship with God that drives us to our knees. And whatever our relationship with God in our prayer life is now, it can always be closer. It can always get better. It can always be more personal. It can always be more intimate. That's what He wants from us. And that's the kind of relationship we want to have with Him. So this morning I want us to briefly look at three areas. I think that if we focus on these in our prayer life, they will help us accomplish that more intimate, that more personal relationship with God as we go to Him in prayer. If you have your bulletin in front of you, you'll see that it is Kim Bauer's favorite color. She picked that color out, by the way. So if you get the outline out, we'll go through this outline together, filling in the blanks to help us, again, not just think about, but really digest the points that I think will help us grow closer to God in our prayer life. I'm praying right now that this PowerPoint is going to be working. There we go. The first thing we notice that in talking to God, if we're going to develop that personal relationship with Him, it requires that we are familiar with Him. We talked a lot about God last week, didn't we? About His character, the fact that He's eternal, that He's unchangeable, that He's omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent. Those characteristics. But we need to remember that engaging in an affectionate conversation with God means that we are His children and He is our Father, and we need to look at Him that way. You notice the disciples never asked Jesus, "Lord, please teach us how to teach." Or, "Lord, teach us how to heal." What was the one request they had of Jesus? "Lord, teach us how to" what? "Pray." How to pray. It was that important to them. And it should be that important to us as well. It's an affectionate conversation we have with our loving Father. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You know, sometimes when we think about a throne, we think of this gigantic thing with the king sitting on it, with the crown and all the power and all the authority that goes with it, along with all of the rules and regulations that we have to follow or else. But you see, that's not the way God's throne is described here in this passage in Hebrews. It's what? It's a throne of grace. It's a place that we can go to have this intimate conversation with our Father that He gives us freely. Free because it didn't cost us anything. And yet it cost Him everything. It cost Him the life of His Son. When we pray, we're not only talking with God, we're communing with God. We're spending personal time with God, sharing our intimate thoughts and feelings about our Creator. That's the definition of communing. That's also the definition of communion, which is what we just did. As we gathered around the Lord's table together and individually, as our minds and our hearts look to the cross, we were sharing with God our intimate feelings about what He did for us. We're communing with God. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what happens when we pray. We draw near to God and he draws near to us. As we open our hearts to God, letting him see deep within ourselves, we make ourselves vulnerable to him. We want God to know how we feel. He's not someone that we try to have secrets from, but we want God to know what's on our heart, what's on our mind, what's going on in our life. He wants to hear it from us. It's okay to tell him how you feel. It's okay. It's all right to say, God, I'm angry. Why did you allow this to happen? God, I'm frustrated. God, I've lost this loved one and I'm lonely. Help me. You see? God wants to know what's on our heart. And he has given us this beautiful avenue to give it to him, to let him know. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Psalms 139, beginning in verse 23. And I love this passage that we see in Psalms as David's writing it. He's been going through a lot, as you know. And I think this is a prayer that each one of us could pray every day. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. I'm opening up my heart to God. I want him to search my heart. See what's in it. David said before, cleanse my heart of its dross. Let God know what needs to be cleansed in our hearts, in our life, in our attitudes. Allow him in. And we can only do that if we have that kind of relationship with God. And we cast our cares on him by sharing openly and honestly our concerns and our needs and our problems. It's also seeking counsel, seeking guidance from God, looking to him on his omniscience and his omnibenevolence to help us. James chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. We ask God for a lot of things. Do we ask him for wisdom? Is there anyone here that doesn't need God's wisdom in their life? Maybe we don't have the wisdom that we think we do. Let's have God bless us with the kind of wisdom that we need. That should be our prayer. If we want a more intimate relationship with God in our prayer life, we've got to be familiar with him. We've got to be talking with him, communing with him, opening up our hearts to him, casting our cares on him, and seeking counsel from God. So it requires familiarity. But the second thing that it requires is faith. Faith. Certainty to know that God is there even though we can't see him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Our hearts, when we pray, must be full of certainty that God is there with us. Even though we can't see Him, He's there. He's there. And part of that certainty, then, is trust. That God knows best and will do what's best for you. He's in control. Not you. Not me. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Remember, God is not our co-pilot. He's our pilot. He's guiding us. He's leading us on that everlasting way, making our paths straight. He knows better than we do. And He's going to do what's best for us, and we have to trust Him in that. And along with trust comes assurance that God hears me, not only hears me, but He also listens to me. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You have that assurance when you go to God in prayer. When you're facing a struggle, when that person is in the hospital and they're praying to God that He will help them get through the surgery, does that person have the assurance that God hears and really listens? You know, we as parents understand what that phrase means, because we talk to our children. How many times do they hear you, but they're not really listening to you? See, there's a difference. God not only hears us, He listens to everything that we say. We need to have that assurance. And if we know that He hears us and He listens to us, then we need to have the expectation that God will answer us. 1 John 5, verses 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what was asked of Him. But here's the key, and we know this to be true. The best answer to our prayers is not always yes. We may think so at the time because we're asking for it. We want Him to say yes. But trust and assurance and expectation means that we understand that God knows what's best for us better than us. And so sometimes the best answer to our prayer is no. Is no. Have you ever asked for something and not gotten it, and afterwards thought to yourself, boy, I'm glad I didn't get that. I'm glad that didn't work out. Sometimes the best answer to our prayer is no. Sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes it's wait, just wait. Wait, the time's not right. Your timing's not perfect, mine is. Wait. Sometimes it's yes. And sometimes it's, I'm going to give you better than you asked for, because I know that's what's better for you. It's trusting God. It's being assured that He hears and listens to us. He will answer us in a way that's best for us, whether we know it or not. That's the faith that we need. And it's also a complete dependence on God. I need Him. I need His power. I need His love. I need His guidance, His understanding, His strength. I need all of that. He is my God. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah said, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Well, if it's not up to us to direct our steps, then who is going to do that for us? And that's God. If we want to have a more intimate relationship with God, it's going to require that we're familiar with Him, that we have a deep faith, including all these elements that we've talked about. But there's one other thing that it requires. It requires frequency. It requires frequency. That's constancy. Making a prayerful state of mind or a prayerful heart in your life all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Now we know what that doesn't mean. But what does it mean? What it means is to have an open line of constant communication with God. To have an open heart of constant communication with God, so that any point in time, no matter where we are, we can say to God, God, please help me with this. Or God, thank you for this. I can't tell you how many times in my commute up to San Francisco and back for so many years, driving 101 up and back and forth and back and forth, I, by the slimmest of margins, avoided an accident. And as traffic stopped, the first thing I did was say, thank you, God, for protecting me. You see, that's that open line of communication. And I know when Chris Castellum goes into a patient's room, that's a really difficult patient, what do you think Chris is doing from the nurse's station to the room? She's praying. Lord, help me help this person. You see, prayer is part of our ministry. It's part of what God gives us to help us minister to other people. Because we can't do it on our own. We're not strong enough to do it on our own. It's God using us to help others, and He does that through prayer. We need to have constancy in our prayer. We need to have an open 24/7 communication path to our God. But it's not just the constancy. It's the regularity. That's something that we need to get into if we haven't already. Having a set time every day to God in prayer. It's important to have that open line, but it's also important for us to set time aside during the day to pray to God. And the best way to do that is to have a regular time. And I'm not talking about before the meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm talking about a private, intimate, personal time with God that should be the most important, the most special time in our day. It's that time when we go into the closet, so to speak, and we talk to our God. Having that time set. And when we look at the Bible, we see great men of faith that did that. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, as we saw in Daniel chapter 6. We know that Paul prayed a lot. That David in Psalms 55 and verse 17 said, evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. So David prayed 3 times a day. And we know that Jesus had special times when He prayed. Sometimes He got up early in the morning before anyone else and He prayed. And sometimes He stayed all night. He stayed up all night in prayer to His Father. And if it's important enough for them to have special times, regular times, it should be important enough for us to do the same. To communicate with God, showing Him how much I love Him, how thankful I am for everything He's done for me. And to show Him how much I need Him. We need constancy. We need regularity. Repetition. Repetition. Some people think that when we repeat the same thing to God in prayer, we're nagging Him. You think God ever feels that way? Oh, there's that Roy asking for this again. I wish he'd just get off of it. Doesn't feel that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remember Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? Did he just ask to have it removed once? No. Three times. Three times he asked to have it removed. But very similar to repetition is persistence. That's persistently asking and not giving up. Did Jesus pray for the same thing more than once? What about when he was in the garden, waiting to be taken away and crucified? Did he pray for the same thing more than once? He did. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. He prayed that three times. Prayed that three times. And it's not just about repetition. But persistence is a key to that. Look over at Luke chapter 11. Let's read this passage together. Luke chapter 11. Verses 5 through 10. Now, I warn you, if you highlight this in your e-book, Amazon's going to know that you've been reading this. But it's important that we do. Luke chapter 11, beginning of verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless perseverance, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Verse 9. So I say to you, because of what I've just said, so now I'm saying this to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What permission is Jesus giving us here? To be persistent in our prayers. Daniel prayed three times a day. Paul prayed for the same thing three times. Jesus prayed the same thing three times. Ask, seek, and knock. And we see increased intensity and urgency in each one of these commands. We ask, then we seek, then we knock. And not just one time. The verb here used is present tense. That means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be persistent in our prayers. Think about your prayer life and how persistent you are. You know, between David and I, we have 19 grandkids. 19 grandkids. I only have 6. The rest are his. And Kim's. Do you ever think that we stop praying about them? No matter how old your children are, do you ever stop praying about them? That's persistence. That's pressing intently and not giving up. And that's what God wants from us. As His child, God has given each one of us to come before His throne of grace and pour out our heart to Him. But to do that on a more personal, more intimate level, we need to be familiar with Him and our father-child relationship. It requires our faith in Him, that He listens, He hears, He answers. And it requires our frequency, that we don't just do it periodically, but we have that open line of communication, a prayer to Him, that we can go to Him at any time with anything and He will answer us. As kind of a sidebar to this, as Milt walks up here, The Bible talks a lot about fellowship. Fellowship with Christians. Fellowship with our Christian family. And that's important. It's important to us and for us to know each other. Not just in this building, but outside the worship service. Why do we have potlucks? I mean, believe me, these ladies can cook. Some of the guys, Mike brought something, and I'm excited to try here. But it's not the food. It's the people. It's the people that's important. And one of the things that you'll notice, the better you get to know someone, the more you're going to pray for that person. And why is that? Because you know more about what their needs are. Because the more you know someone, the more you think about them. And sometime during the week, something may happen and it just reminds you, I remember what Dale said about this, and it may cause you to stop and think about Dale. Last week I went to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription. And the middle 20-year-old girl behind the desk had a beautiful brooch on. So I said to her, "Boy, that's a beautiful brooch that you have." And she smiled and said, "That was my grandmother's. She died 2 weeks ago. This is the one thing I wanted of hers, was that brooch." And I told her how special that was, and I was sorry about her loss. And so I took my little cholesterol medication and walked back to the car. And as I was walking back to the car, I thought of Diane Himian. Last week, as I was standing in the back, as she was coming out, she had this beautiful brooch on. When I got in the car, I prayed for Diane. Not anything specific, but did she have a good day? That she would enjoy the blessings that God had given her that day? Nothing really critical, but just remembering her in prayer. And I did that because I saw her back there. And I saw that brooch. You see, we all have those brooches inside of our lives that we need to share with each other. The more and better I know Buzz, the more I'm going to pray for him. It's human nature. But that's what God wants from each of us. Fellowship is such an important part of our relationship with each other and our relationship with God. Let's use it in the way that He wants it to be used. Okay. If we can help you this morning as we conclude our worship service, to offer prayers on your behalf. Prayer is a mighty thing. Prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer changes lives. And if you need to have your life changed, we want to help you do that by offering prayers on your behalf. If you've not yet become a child of God and put on Christ in baptism, that's what this life is all about. That's what we read about in Revelation chapter 12, about the victory because of the blood of the Lamb. Let that blood of the Lamb through baptism wash you clean of your sins. So if we can help in any way this morning, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.